Tausch begins now, and it begins with Packers royalty coming into practice in Harry Sidney, the great Harry Sidney, and one of my neighbors. And Tausch, I got a question for you. So I just met young Miles, who is here watching practice, and I asked him, you know, all the questions that I'm a question guy, not a follow-up guy, but a question guy. Are you ready for school to start? All the kinds of questions about practice so far. What did I miss? And then I asked him who his he's going to be a fourth grader. I asked him who his favorite player was, and he said, well, I like all of them. I gave him a homework assignment for the 11 o'clock hour, and then when I find him after we're done, I want to know his top five favorite players on this roster.
Okay.
If I asked you and Jesse the same question, how would you answer?
Well,
like we know Jesse Nelson still wishes that Josh Jackson was still on the roster. That's his favorite, obviously. Now he's got his jersey to wear. But like, you've got to have guys that it's not like when you were a kid, obviously. But are there players on this team that are your favorites? The guys that you really think are really good players, or you really like their play style, whatever it might be. Are there guys on this list that you like better than others on this roster?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different things. It's who do you know and have at least some form of a relationship with is going to cloudy any of that judgment. So if you take that out of the equation, I've been out the league for a while. I don't have the same relationships I had when I first got out. But Elgton Jenkins would be at the top of my list. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. I like Kenny Clark. Mm-hmm. But when it just comes to playing ball and take all of the other stuff out of the equation, I think, man, defensively, I'm going to be a big fan, I think, of Rashawn Gary. I think how he plays. What are you doing over there?
Rob Reichel wanted to know if I was on the air right now while you were giving your list, so I was letting him know.
Tell Rob, ask Rob how his tennis game is. I know he's a big tennis coach.
He has a very good tennis player in his family. Well, he's now walked away because he got the hint that if I'm not responding to you verbally, it might mean that I'm listening to the person on the other end of the show.
Listen, you're talking to him as it's going. Give us more. What does he think about Djokovic? Like, he's a tennis guy. So Rashawn Gary's at the top of the list for me just because how he plays and what he's able to do. I think he's right there. I'm a Kenny Clark guy. I love the way he plays, and I like him as a dude. So when you do that, Jair used to be at the top of the list for me. I need to see more. I am not putting him in my top five, which I think might surprise you.
It does. You used
Jordan
to call him
Love
Depoy.
Because he was the Depoy. I think Jordan Love, obviously, I'm a quarterback guy. Tucker Kraft is going to be my fourth. I like Tucker Kraft as a tight end. I want him to get healthy and emerge as that guy, the Kittle of this group.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I have to pick a wideout, and I'm going with Romeo Doubs because of his even-keeled underdog approach.
Yes.
Romeo Doubs is my fifth. So that is my five players that I would go with.
Jesse, who's your five?
So Jordan Love is for sure one of the five.
Okay.
I think I agree with Tausch. Kenny Clark is for sure one of the five. Couch's camera just fell over on the video stream, which is fantastic.
What the hell's going on out here?
So if I got Jordan Love, Kenny Clark, Keyshawn Nixon, I think, is one of my five. Mm-hmm. I love the personality. I love, like, it's exciting when he has the ball in his hands. I still remember when he returned that kick on New Year's Day a couple of years ago. Like, that was... He's earned a special place. I don't know if he's one of the best players on the team, but he's one of my favorite players, I think. Jaden Reed, I think, is the receiver I'm going to go with because of the versatility that he brings to the offense. Like, I think of when I think of favorite players, I think of, if I don't have a personal connection to them, I think of who seems to be the most fun watching. And Jaden Reed always feels fun when he has the ball in his hands.
He is fun. He seems fun. That's a good point.
He is fun. That's a, he's got a fun personality, sure.
This is where I... can you say A.J. Dillon?
You can say whatever you want, Jesse.
If you want to say
your list.
Favorite Packers, I think A.J. Dillon is right up there. But if
and
I'm,
then who do you have if he's not a Packer at the end of the training camp? Or he's going to take a spot.
Yeah, I think I have, that's the way I have to go about that. Rashawn Gary, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put cheese on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just put cheese on it.
All right. I have narrowed down my list while you were making yours. Much like the Badgers also receiving votes, in my also receiving votes category are Kenny Clark, Grant Dubose, Zach Tom, and Keyshawn Nixon. My five, and Jaden Reed also receiving votes. My five are Jordan Love, Dontavion Wicks, Elton Jenkins, Xavier McKinney, and then I'm torn on these two guys because I like both
just
of them.
You like all the high-priced, big-money guys.
Well, the last
even know
one will
Xavier
not be.
McKinney. He ain't even played a snap yet. Yeah. He's in your list.
What do you love about McKinney? What do we need to know about him?
What is going on? I don't like
he's
that
He's been
at
here
all,
1 minute.
Jason, from you.
I'm a Palm
he's
guy.
He's played like three snaps.
Yeah, but I had a great conversation.
Oh, they paid him a lot
him
of money,
week.
So he's my favorite. Come on.
Great conversation with him last week.
Yeah, I did. A really good conversation.
Palm.
Extended. Story coming in your Wisconsin State Journal. But here's the fifth place spot that I am struggling with because there are two guys that are nowhere near that list of the guys getting paid. It's between Eric Wilson, the old linebacker who is still running with the starters in his seventh NFL season, and Bo Melton. I like both those guys. And Bo Melton obviously has to bounce back from a tough performance in Cleveland. He just caught a big, long touchdown pass here as I was talking about him. But those are two guys that, Tausch, I'm not saying they're you by any means, but Eric Wilson is just a guy that has made sure he carved out a really lengthy NFL career, which has been pretty impressive that he finds a way to do that. And Bo Melton's just a guy that you can't help but root for. Like, he's just super likable. And I actually felt bad for him as we watched that game unfold on Saturday. I know two of the throws were behind him, but he's got to catch all three of those balls that he dropped. I think he would say that. And I am curious, as a segue, when you have a game like that, I don't know how many times you had a game like that, but when you have a game like that, how eager are you to get back to practice like he is today? And how eager are you for the next game to kind of show that that's not who you are?
Yeah, I think that's the beauty and kind of the curse of football is that you have a tough showing. The beauty of the game is everything just continues to move on. Win or lose, by Wednesday, it's the on to the next thing. But players always want to get the bad taste out of their mouth. If they have a bad performance or if things don't go well, or if the team doesn't win, let's go. Bow up and let's figure out a way to get it and so it's better the next time. And I'm sure Bo and, you know, if you want to talk, A.J. Dillon, I'm sure, is in the same boat where he's looking at it and he's hearing the criticism of what, you know, has been said the last couple of days. And the best way to stop a narrative is to go do something different and to have a different performance that's better. And the beauty of this industry that you just got to keep feeding that machine is you can control some of the data that you put in there. And not always, you can't always change the reality of the perception, but when you have a good game, people will say, boy, Bo Melton, really nice bounce back game, because that is a big part of making teams and of kind of prolonging your career is how do you handle adversity? How do you bounce back? And both of those guys, amongst some other players, but for I think after last week's game, those would be the guys that we think are going to make this roster that are probably thinking, let's just get the, Let's end that news cycle and let's move into a new one.
Does he have to avoid pressing when you have a performance like that? Like, are you can't make up for it in one snap.
Yeah, you always you're right. You want to just get that taste out of your mouth. And I think you can press. You can really, you know, it's the Dick Bennett. You don't squeeze too tightly, right? You want something so bad that you're, and that typically means you're going to press and not play to the same performance. The best way to play any sport is freely and loosely. The more tense and the more you put on yourself, the harder it is to perform at the highest level that you can.
Does Prize Picks do preseason projections for like receptions? Like in Sunday's game against the Broncos, would they have like 2.5 more or less for Bo Melton on receptions? Or are we not doing that in preseason?
They do them. I know because I went 0-8 on Saturday.
Ooh. What? 0 yeah. for 8? Do you get all your money back?
No. I thought I got a pretty good idea what's going to happen in this preseason game. I put in two different four projections of four that I combined in, and I missed on all 8 projections. So we got to bounce back this week.
You and Bo.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and I think right now it's, I'm guessing 90.5 receiving yards for Miami, Tyreek Hill versus Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's a regular season game. That's not this weekend. So I'll have to get back to you. Jesse's correct. There's PrizePicks has it all. It's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. With over 5 million active members, PrizePicks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And unlike other apps, on PrizePicks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do, pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch those winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the PrizePicks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on PrizePicks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. Just sign up today. And you get $50 instantly when you play a $5 game. You don't need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Preseason football is underway, but you can also pick more or less on 2024 season stats on Prize Picks. Patrick Mahomes, more or less than 4,300 yards. You got Jordan Love. How many yards is he going to throw for? Enter your season picks before week one kicks off. We will definitely, Jesse and I will definitely do that in the next couple of weeks. Download the PrizePicks app today. Use code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on PrizePicks for that first deposit match. Horn up to $100. PrizePicks, run your game. WNBA's been good to old T, too. That's getting started back up. I think they took all that break for the Olympics and
the
things
Olympics,
of that nature,
yeah.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that Diana Taurasi was on that team and not Caitlin Clark? I can't. I'm not going to get into that.
Nelly!
But I am going to look at all of the different opportunities that Prize Picks has to offer starting again, I think, on Thursday night.
A quiet Olympics statistically for Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, she had no business being
quiet. A quiet training camp so far for Luke Musgrave. I tried to get to the bottom of that. I did not succeed with John Dunn, the tight ends coach yesterday. I want to get Tausch's thoughts on that because, boy, were we raving about old number 88 last year at this time. What does it mean? Maybe he's just a savvy veteran who's smart enough to save it for when the games count now. I'll ask Tausch that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Zane Anderson picking off Sean Clifford. Didn't look like Clifford ever saw him on that throw as practice rolls on. Tausch, Jair Alexander is back. It sounds like he had a death in the family, so that's why he wasn't participating in the game on Saturday, but he is here now. I am curious, though. I mentioned this, and this is not, I don't think it means anything, but I want you to help me understand it. You know, we were talking last year about, oh, they timed him, and he's running at 21 miles per hour, and he's the fastest guy on the field and everything else. And it just feels like we have not talked about Luke Musgrave at all. In fact, it kind of feels like we've talked more about Tucker Kraft, who isn't even really doing much of anything, and compared to Luke Musgrave, who's been out there and not doing anything.
Well, because you're obsessed with the wide receivers, and that's all you can talk about.
Wait a minute. That's not Tausch.
No, I'm joking. Jason, don't be so sensitive. Don't be so sensitive.
He has had a quiet camp, I'm not being sensitive with you, but I was a little sensitive with the fact that John Dunn, the tight ends coach, who I understand, I've done this long enough, you don't want to say things that are perceived as negative, because then if you're Steno and you basically say that Yash didn't rise to the occasion of competing for his job, then Matt LaFleur scolds you for saying that. So I get it. But sure. I don't think there's any reason to think that there's something amiss with a big down-the-field completion from Love to Christian Watson, who loses his helmet, but he beat Stokes badly on a post to the goal line. I don't think it's a negative thing. I just think it's just strange that someone who looks like such a weapon has not had those, dare I say, wow moments where you're like, whew, that's the Luke Musgrave that everybody was excited about. I'm not saying it means he won't be productive this season. It just seems, for lack of a better term, weird that we haven't seen a lot from him in this camp. Am I being unreasonable?
No, I think there's always the, well, he's just having a steady camp, or, you know, you're not hearing a ton. And I think from an offensive lineman standpoint, you like that. When you're not hearing a ton of stuff about a player, it's just that's him. He's doing his deal. But when you're a young tight end, and especially Musgrave, coming off of, you know, a serious injury at the end of last season, and Tucker Kraft not being available for the beginning part of it, I think you kind of hope and want to hear. We heard a heck of a lot more about him last year in minicamp with, oh my God, look at how fast he is, and look at all this other stuff. And the fact that you're not hearing that, I'm not concerned, but you do wonder why. And part of it is because the receivers take up so much oxygen of what's going on. And then you had Jordan Love in the beginning of camp not being there or not practicing. So there's just been a lot of other things. And maybe this is a back burner deal. And now all of a sudden that you're getting some of the main dishes off the front burner, you can look back and say, what's going on back there? Oh, that asparagus is cooking. Is it scorched? Oh, nope, it's still there. It just needs a little more time, and it'll be nice and crispy, and it'll be good when you eat it. And if that's the case, great. But it is curious, because the tight end position is something that obviously Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst put a lot of resources in last year and saw some really nice things. But if you're having Matt LaFleur talking about 10 personnel, that means something's going to give on the other side of it. And if these guys are emerging, you're going to want to find ways to get 3 and 4 wides. And when you do that, tight end goes bye-bye, and you don't see the same amount. So it's something to watch, and it's kind of intriguing to see. Maybe this will be the week when you do your joint practices. You're going to do more double tights. And you're going to start seeing what that can do. So you just keep finding more personnel groupings that work, that will keep guys engaged in what they're doing. And hopefully Luke Musgrave is a part of it.
All right. I don't want to and great answer. And I think that put it in perspective for
me. Is asparagus
Jesse,
the toughest vegetable to get right? Because I think it is.
No, not if you do it on the grill.
Yeah, I don't think it's that difficult at all. What, we do it in the air fryer.
You always want to blanch it. Hey, you got to blanch
it.
You can't just fire it on the grill.
Got to blanch it. You put a little put a little, you know, it's olive oil. It's a little bit of Himalayan salt, and then you grill it on the grill.
Maybe
and
do
it
a
turns
little,
out beautifully.
A little seasoning on there, like a little like Cajun
so
seasoning
you never,
we've done.
You don't even mess with boiling or blanching. You don't do anything. You just cut it and throw it on the grill with a little Himalayan salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little olive oil. I got to admit, I don't know what blanching is. I don't watch the Food Network enough to know that.
How do you not know?
Can you tell me what that means?
It's the Golden Girls, isn't it?
Blanche from the Golden Girls. That's exactly what I was going to say.
You guys are on the same page. Well, the blanching is you put it, end up putting it in some cold water on top after you kind of boil a little bit, and then you blanch it. You put it.
You boil it and then you put it in cold water?
Yes.
Are you sure? Blanching. How confident, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that you just accurately described blanching?
Here's the deal. I am very confident blanching involves cold water. I'm very confident in that.
Okay. Jesse, this may be an abuse. This may be an abuse of the breaking news
sounder.
What is
that notebook that you have stuffed under your armpit on this picture? Like, what are you doing?
I don't know what. It's my
notebook. The picture was taken like 2 years ago.
I know, but look at—he's got like that notebook is like just. All right, continue, Jason. I got sidetracked.
So I have. I'm surprised it's not a photo from just now because I do have my notebook under my arm because I'm looking at my phone while I do the show from my phone because we have breaking news from the NFL that will potentially mean that the Minnesota Vikings can follow the Mark Tauscher quarterbacking plan. Hit the breaking news sounder.
Oh, baby, now this is some breaking news.
Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reporting J.J. McCarthy, who has missed practices with knee soreness of late, tests have revealed a meniscus issue that he will undergo surgery for. That means that Sam Darnold, your presumptive Viking starter, will now be starting week one no matter what J.J. McCarthy's surgery is and how extensive that surgery turns out to be.
Sam Darnold, no matter what. That's the
Sam,
right move.
I don't,
McCarthy was not going to be ready. The Vikings, this will be a blessing in disguise that they'll have to implement.
That's what I was just about to ask.
No.
Is this
no
a blessing
games
in
before
disguise?
Thanksgiving. Minnesota's not going to be a good football team. And I had this discussion with some folks I was golfing with yesterday. Everybody telling us how great that the NFC North is going to be. Slower down. I do believe the Packers are going to be really good. I think the Lions, they're going to have some issues, I believe. I think they'll be good. But we're all crowning the Bears. The Vikings are going to stink. The Bears, that's the big question mark, but I think Detroit's going to have injury. They're running back. I don't know how long Gibbs, he's going to be out.
Yeah, Gibbs.
So slower down. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so obviously we know this from experience. During the 2010 season, someone had a meniscus issue on the Packers offense, JerMichael Finley. And when he underwent surgery, it was extensive surgery that ended his season. As Rappaport reports, they could either do a trim, which would mean he'd be out for a few weeks, or they can do a more extensive surgery, which would mean many months, to use Ian's term. If they choose many months, can he still benefit from a red shirt season? Even if he's not playing at all and not getting practice reps, if he's on IR, what are you trying? To me, I'm guessing you would love to not have to have the extensive surgery and then just still not play him, right? Just still have him get scout team work and whatever. What, as the father of the no rookie before Thanksgiving or whatever catchy phrase you came up with at quarterback, what would be best case scenario here now that the knee is an issue in his development?
Well, obviously getting his knee right is the top of the list, but you never get better by not playing, not practicing, not working through your stuff. So I'm a little bit, if I'm a Viking fan, which I am certainly not, this news would be concerning because, Horn, you would just say he's going in, he's getting his meniscus trimmed, and he'll be out a couple weeks. When you start adding in all of that other stuff, replacing it or doing different things, that ain't good. So I hope for his sake that it's just a trim and then, you know, he's out a couple weeks and, you know, Minnesota goes about doing their business the way they do their business. And then if J.J. McCarthy can, it's good for this league for him to, you know, for rookie young players to play, not to sit and take a medical red shirt, which even though I can't stand the Minnesota Vikings, I do not wish that on any player.
You've made it very clear you are not a Minnesota Vikings fan. You are, in fact, a Tito's fan. So pour you in, coach.
Tito's handmade vodka on game day? Indeed. Pour me in, coach. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy Bloody Mary for your warm-up. Salt the rim of a Tito Rita during halftime. Or take home the win with a Tito's and anything that your heart desires. Soda. I like cranberry. Even though I was in Door County, a little cherry juice. A little tartness. Mm. Yeah. You're calling this game. You can change up your roster or wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first round bottle pick. Whose house? Oh, it's Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at Tito'sVodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
Woe Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I have my buddy Miles's top five, Tausch, and then we'll get to Woe Nelly.
Okay.
Number one, Jordan Love. Number two, Josh Jacobs. Number three, Jaden Reed. Number four, Kenny Clark. And number five, Rudy Ford. He may have gotten a little help from his dad on that. He wanted to make sure that he clarified that the real number five on his list is Romeo Dobbs. So there's Miles' list.
A lot of skill position players there.
Not a lot of offensive linemen. Yeah, not a lot of offensive.
Is Miles a fantasy football player? Because I feel like there's some influence there.
Well, he missed out on Christian Watson catching a deep ball. Reed just had a nice one down the sideline on a great throw from Love that fit between a couple of defenders. It was really nice. Hopefully, Woe Nelly is just as nice.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
I think Jason wanted to say twice as nice, and he kind of bungled it. Right?
I thought about it. Yes, I did.
I think that's right.
Not only are you finishing my sentences, now you're saying what I meant to say and didn't.
Finishing incomplete thoughts.
Exactly. Woe Nelly!
Yikes! Just wait till we start doing that for Tausch.
Wait until I don't have enough gas in his tank. Jeeves.
Have you guys talked about this Hassan Reddick thing while I've been off over the last couple of shows, or have
this
we not?
It's not a Jets show. No, we have not.
Yeah, this thing is wild. So Hassan Reddick is 29 years old, two-time Pro Bowler. He was acquired in a trade by the New York Jets from the Philadelphia Eagles during the offseason. Hassan Reddick showed up for his physical and his introductory press conference. And that is the only day he has shown up for the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They traded for him with the understanding that they were going to have him on his current contract, I guess is what the Jets are saying. But Hassan Reddick has been steadfast in saying that he wants a revised contract before he gets out on the field again. So now, the report yesterday is that the Jets are officially shopping around Hassan Reddick to trade him again before he's even taken a snap or shown up for a second day of work with the New York Jets. Is this a indictment of the New York Jets franchise? Or is Hassan Reddick being a little ridiculous in what he's expecting, well, Tausch?
I think as we went through last offseason, I think the question is who's got
bludgeoned.
Who has the leverage in this situation? Because we all thought one way last year. And the bottom line on this is Joe Douglas bungled this. You don't trade for people that are unhappy with their contract and not give them a sweetener to get them to like their contract before you make that trade.
Mm-hmm.
And to just assume because you trade that that's going to be the case. Now, the Jets hold the power in this situation because they don't have to trade him. Now, Hassan Reddick can just come in and say, well, yeah, I'm going to come, but I ain't playing. And I got a hammy. And then you can get into injury grievances, and it can get super ugly. And it got ugly yesterday because Hassan Reddick came out and said, I want to be traded. And the Jets said, no, you're not going to get traded. You're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, what I think will happen is either Hassan Reddick is just not going to play, which I don't doubt very much that he's just going to give that money up. But the Jets will put some performance enhancers in his contract that if he does this, certain amount of sacks, Pro Bowls, et cetera, they'll throw some sweeteners, in-game bonus sweeteners in his deal. Because otherwise, I don't know, like, is anybody else, who's going to trade for him? Maybe the Bears to pair him up with Montez Sweat, maybe. But nobody's giving up a conditional second to get somebody that's miserably unhappy with their contract unless they get it. So, again, when you make deals for players that are unhappy with their contract, Brandon Ayuk, you can go through a litany of players. Don't make the trade until you come to contractual terms with that player. It's amateur hour there, and Joe Douglas kind of fell into that. And the New York Jets are suffering because they're going to be missing one of their best pass rushers. Or they're going to have a hostage, not a volunteer, which, as Mike Tomlin always tells us, not the way to do it.
So help me. All right. WWGD. What would Goody do? Like, this idea, I don't remember. First of all, I don't remember a story where a guy was disgruntled, got traded to a new team, showed up for the press conference and his physical, was never seen again, and then requested another trade from that team. But I also don't remember a time where a player was traded, to your point, that was disgruntled that his new team didn't sweeten his contract as part of the deal to get him. Like, well, the fact that the Jets thought, oh, he's unhappy with the Eagles, but if we acquire him and promise that we'll do something with his deal later, that that's going to suffice. The whole reason he was unhappy in Philadelphia is because he's on the last year of a contract with no guaranteed money and not a huge base salary. He wants more guaranteed money, and you knew that when you acquired him.
Yeah, it's a dumb move, and the Jets are paying the price. So eventually it'll get worked out, because if this guy's as good of a pass rusher as, you know, the Jets hope he is, you're going to pay pass rushers. You got to figure out what that,
apparently not yet,
number is going to be that will make people happy, because Hassan Reddick ain't going to sit out and not get paid. He might sit in and get paid, but he ain't going to sit out and not get paid for the entire year. I feel very confident about that.
He's racking up a lot of fines as we speak, that's for sure. Again, I don't think that Joe Douglas is a complete idiot, but the evidence is mounting that he is overmatched with the way things are playing out.
I almost wonder if they shouldn't let Aaron Rodgers just be the GM out there.
Who are you, Joe Thomas?
The de facto
GM?
Who
we heard earlier in the show briefly. Jesse, I don't hear any more music. Are we done with
it? We are done. Yeah, it's 11:50. We went long with Hassan Reddick there.
All on Hassan Reddick there. All right, well, we'll wrap things up live from Green Bay and Tausch's undisclosed location next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I see my good friend Sean Rozacek and his beautiful family are here as we wrap up Wildy and Tausch. So I want to get to hang out with him. But before we do, Tausch, I didn't get any texts from Sarah during the course of the show. So I assume she wasn't listening to your discussion of the gas tank situation. Are we anticipating any sort of blowback at any juncture after today's program?
Why would there be blowback?
You kind of put her on blast a little bit.
You mean, why would there be blowback?
How did I put her on blast?
You did.
I didn't put anybody on blast.
Okay. I guess we have different definitions of blast.
At one point you said, and I quote, "Old girl knows what she did wrong."
Oh, that's true.
I would never speak like that.
You said
Old girl knows what she did wrong.
Old girl knows what she did wrong.
Never once were those words uttered.
Check the audio.
Maybe you had an out-of-body experience in the first segment, but you said that.
All I said was she drove a bunch of miles up the peninsula that was
too much,
and she didn't splash the tank enough to get us from point A to point B on a straight shot. That was all I said. But no, I do not believe she was listening today, which probably is not a big
podcaster, though, so I can't wait till she hears and gets back to us. All right, that is it for us today. Tausch, we've got some 11-on-11 here. Love almost getting picked off by Christian Welch, as they're a little thin at inside linebacker, so he's getting some reps with the ones. It's only two practices this week here, and then the joint practice on Friday in Denver. So we've got a lot to look forward to as we roll through this week. Anything to add before we go?
Well, you just keep hearing, you know, from you, and if you're on Twitter, the explosive plays, Christian Watson, you know, Jaden Reed, and Matt LaFleur's got to be excited about what he's got. He is, and he's trying to keep that vomit talk of who's the one, because we think we need answers. He's saying, no. We got this. We got it figured out, and I can't wait to see how you irritate him today.
Now, best thing you said was he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to his team. I think you were 1,000% right on that. That's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.